book and subject and verse you announce is the one you announced. Nothing worth to tell the people to turn to Genesis 2, but you're preaching out of John 4, amen. In January, we actually had to play Oklahoma State University and they beat our butts. But Mike and I were hanging out that day and we went to lunch. And lunch was at one of those Earth Fair type stores. And while in the line at, I can't remember the name of the store, I ran across this magazine. As you know, I spend the first three Sundays of every March, which is Women's History Month, talking about women in the Bible. And I thought it not coincidence, but certainly God's providence. The Lord knows I needed the Cliff Notes, amen. And as I was perusing the magazine, I realized that many of the women in it had always, I had already talked about. But there was one woman in there that I had never talked about because I have tried over the last 7 years to honor my daughter and honor all women in this church to only deal with the positive women in the Bible. But God has commanded and demanded that I deal with a woman who has a salacious past. Everybody ain't perfect. All of us in here have a past. And so if you want to read this word of God, you've got to deal with the good and you've got to deal with the bad. And especially if you want to pastor and minister to the people of God, you've got to deal with the good and you've got to deal with the past. I know in 2019 everybody wants hunky-dory theology. Everybody wants to be made to feel good and made to feel like everything they do is alright. But that ain't what the manual teaches nor suggests. And so today I have to deal with one of the women in the Bible that does not have the best character or the best historical presence in the Bible. But God put her in there for a reason. And if God put her in there, I have to talk about it. Now I need you to put on your grown-up pants today. Because today we've got to deal with Delilah. And it came to pass that she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all of his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lord of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. But the Philistines, and she said, the Philistines, oh, no, wait a minute. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. And said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. his head began to grow again after he was shaken. Today we've got to deal with Delilah. Today we've got to deal with Delilah. Subtopic, be careful when you lay your head. Sunday school, vacation Bible school, a church at least has a CME Christian, and that's Christmas, Mother Day, and Easter. You have most likely heard once or twice over your life about Samson and Delilah. It's not too often that we just hear about Delilah. Anytime you come upon this text or talk about this subject, you're going to hear Samson and Delilah. In order for me to even deal with Delilah, I have to begin with Samson. Samson was one of the last, if not the last, of the judges who judged Israel before Saul. So they had a series of judges that acted almost like prime ministers who judged the people not just for their sins and not for their disobedience or breaking of Moses' law, but like Deborah gave them wise counsel and advice. And so Samson is one of the last judges in the book of Judges before Saul will become king. Samson came from a special line of the Israelite children called the Nazarites, who mostly lived in Nazareth, where Jesus was born. He is a Nazarite, and part of being a Nazarite is that their mothers had and fathers had to take a vow to never cut the hair of their children. Samson was able to do so. Some supernatural acts, as we talked about last week. One of those feats that he was able to accomplish that no other man was able to accomplish was he was able to kill a lion with his own bare hands. And he took out a whole Philistine army with the jawbone of a donkey. But Samson was as big as the Ferrigno. He was strong. He was muscular, but he had long hair that went past his waistline, and people wondered how he was able to defeat whole armies with just one man, not with a battalion, not with a bazooka, not with a tank, but one man's strength alone had enough power, Deacon Moore, to take out an whole army. He knew, and his mother knew, because every mother knows that your child is special even before your child knows they are special. Your mother. And your mother knows that you are special. Sometimes those fathers ain't paying enough attention, but mothers know. Somebody up there, mothers know when your child has supernatural gifts and supernatural feats, and that's why they won't let you alone, because they know God has got something for you. Ain't nobody want to talk to you. Your mother won't let you know because they think they hurt you. They felt you before the father got to hold you in the hospital. They've been holding you for 9 months, so they know you are special, and they won't let you go. They won't stop bothering you. They won't stop nagging you. They won't stop. I'm talking to somebody in here today, because they will not give up, because they
especially for those of you who've been to Bible study, been to vacation Bible school, been to Sunday school, and been to church Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. But for those of you who this is your first time here, we know by now that the strength did not come from his hair. His hair might have been a resource, but his hair was not his source. And none of your strength comes from your intellect. None of your strength comes from your education. None of your strength comes from your bio. None of your strength comes from your resume. None of your strength comes from the title on your door. None of your strength comes from your last name. None of your strength comes from your bank account. None of your strength comes from your IRA. None of your strength comes from your 401k. I'm trying to give you a chance to catch up. None of your strength comes from where you live. None of your strength comes from who you know. None of your strength comes from your church. None of your strength comes from your pastor. But anybody know that all of my help comes? I said, all of my help.
Old school.
stuff when you had to get permission from the daddy, and the daddy had to allow, you know, y'all don't care no more. But it's Bible. I had to ask my father a little bit. Probably had to pay him a little bit too. And after they killed his wife and his father-in-law, he's running almost like David for his life. And the Bible says he moves to Gaza. Gaza is on the eastern shore of Israel. It's from too small on the map. You've heard of, if you watch CNN, MSNBC, you've heard of the Gaza Strip. Can I get a witness? You heard of the Gaza Strip, right? That's Gaza, all right? The West Bank is on the west side there. Jordan, the Gaza Strip, is on the east side. It's still Palestinian territory. The Palestinians are the descendants of the Philistines and the Canaanites. It all works together. See, just don't think this Bible is something that just came out of thin air. That some people, it is still happening. It's not just as much spiritual as it is historical. So he is in Gaza, and he's with the Philistines living in that country. But because they are after him, he has to find a place to hide out. Motel 6 didn't need the light on. He didn't have no mirror of reward points. He took one another man. And so he has to find a place to stay. And he realizes that there's always women who will open up their doors for the right thing. And in every action, if you read the Bible, if you're a CME Christian, it's also the two Jericho spies. When they needed to find a place to stay in Jericho, they don't go to Motel 6 or the Hilton or the Marriott. They stay also at a prostitute's house because prostitutes are always opening up their doors. They're in the business. Stay holy. Stay holy. Stay holy. Stay holy. Stay holy. I'm opening up. And we should not be surprised that when the men of the Philistines, and the Bible says the lords of the Philistines, realize that Samson is in Delilah's house, that they get to Delilah and they ask Delilah, hold him there, because we need to find out the source of his power. If we let him go, he gonna kill all of us again. So Delilah, we need to find out the source of his power, and they pay her 1,100 silver coins to find out the source of his power. Do not be mad at Delilah for being a businesswoman. That just happened to be her business. Now, we look bad now at harlots and prostitutes in 2019, but honestly, if the Bible talks about it a lot, it was part of the culture and of the time. Now, no, I don't recommend you do it because it's illegal and immoral, but it was part of the time. So she was just doing what she did. And so don't be mad at her for what she did because she had to pay her rent. And so they asked her to find out where does this power come from. And three times, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost, she asked him, where does your power come from? And three times he asked to not tell the truth. He lied, but he couldn't tell the truth. But sometimes you got to throw people off. I'm not telling you to lie, but sometimes you just got to throw people off because you can't tell them everything that God has told you. And three times he does not tell her the truth, but he got in her lap. Up, not by getting in his lap. He messed up when he broke his first vow not to marry outside of his ethnicity and religion. Come here, Robert. Both of them. Kraft and Kelly.
understands that all of us have weaknesses. God understands that all of us are going to mess up every now and then. God can deal with our weakness because he remembers that we are dust. And because we are dust, we will fall apart. And God can deal with an honest, weak man or woman. But to hell with anyone who's got a wicked heart, because you and the devil have teamed up and God can't help you. And see, when you become a repeat offender, just like in the legal system, they got stuff for you, they got sentences for you, the devil has a sentence for you too when you become a repeat offender. He's already married one Philistine woman. Now he's in the lap of another Philistine woman, and that's where he makes his mistake by becoming a repeat offender. And Delilah is just doing what Delilah has been trained to do. She already knows that he's weak. And the man in here who has been taken advantage of. She already knew you weak. She knew the first time she met your butt, I'm going to get this Negro. That's why your first date need to be the church. Yeah. That's why you need to bring them to Bible study. Let them know whose side you're on and who team you're with. Yourself, and you're just going to have to let your imagination run its course. Why after three times does he give up? Leave that right there. She already knew he wouldn't follow the rules. So she knew she had a chance to get him to tell all, as the Bible says, his heart. Be very careful. You tell all your heart to. If you're not married to that person, that person doesn't deserve to know any and everything about you. Now, you can't tell and give your heart to just anybody, because some people will crush your heart. I said they will crush your heart. And she knew that he would not follow the rules of the house. And you've got to have rules for your house. She tells him that his power comes from his hair. And while he is asleep, I really want to go somewhere with that sleep.
I really.
You're praying for me.
Yeah. All of it. I really
want to go somewhere with that sleep, but I'm just going to let that hang in.
Because you got to be real tired. If you let somebody cut your hair, I said you got to be real tired. I don't know what that hand cut your hand had happened. Somebody got some Kool-Aid and went to sleep.
Sunday morning. Whatever happened to Delilah? I know you've been wondering that all your Christian life. Whatever happened to Delilah? We know what happened to Samson. We know he went into the temple and he tore down the temple and died with the rest of them. But whatever happened to Delilah? I'm going to tell you, I read all 66 books of the Bible last night. Tell you what happened to her. Y'all ready? You ready? She died. You want to know what happened to her? She died. Why is that important, preacher? Because when you do wrong in life, that's all you do. It's time. Mary, Jesus' mother, we know what happened to her. After she died, because she was a holy and a pious woman, the Bible says she ascended into heaven. And we know where she is. We don't know where Delilah is. We just know that she's forgotten because you don't hear about her anymore. And when you don't live a good life, you just die, people gonna go to the repast, eat that chicken from Publix. Them cold string beans, that macaroni and cheese, that red Kool-Aid, and that cake from Walmart, and we forget about you. But Mary, who was a good woman, we know she ascended into heaven. But there's also another prostitute in the Bible by the name of Rahab. We meet her, I think, in Joshua. We know that Rahab was that woman who hid the two spies. That when the men of the Lord came to her, she just hid them in her house. We don't hear nothing about them laying in her lap. We want to assume that they laid with her because she was a prostitute. But just because you're in the prostitute's house don't mean that you laid with the prostitute. She hid these two men because she said, I know that the Lord given you all the land. And when you all come take the land, she says, remember me and my family. Now listen to this other harlot, this other prostitute in the Bible. She sounds like that man that's on the right side of Jesus who
crucified. He said, Lord, I don't really know who you are. And when he said, Lord, that's when he got salvation. And when Rahab said, Lord, remember my family, that's when she got salvation. That's why we hear Paul talking about her in Hebrews. That's why we hear James talking about her in the book of James. We hear about Rahab in the New Testament, even though she's all the way in the Old Testament, because she gave her life to Christ. And when you give your life to Christ, you will be in the New Testament. If you're just a prostitute and that's all you do, adopted somebody, I feel it right now. But if you do something for the Lord and help the Lord, you will. I say you will. You will be talked about again, and you will go into the faith hall of faith. We don't hear nothing else about Delilah because she did nothing for the Lord. Even though Rahab was, somebody say was, that is the past tense of the verb to be. Even though she was a prostitute, we find her in the New Testament being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in her death, she was still raised up because she helped the men of God. So that's the question of the ages. What have you done and what are you doing as a woman of God to help the Lord? Are you harming his purposes or are you helping his purposes? And that question is only for you as a woman of God to answer. Happy International Women's Week. Let's stand on our feet and give God praise. That might be one today. I know you're probably scared today. I know this ain't a good time to open up the door to the Lord. But there might be one, some man, some woman, some child. You've never given your life to Christ. You've never signed up in the army of the Lord. And you want to help the Lord Jesus Christ and not hinder him. You help him by being a part of God's army. And if you have never made confession of faith, but you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and God raised him from the dead, today can be the day of your salvation. If you're looking for a church home, you're looking for a place where you can be rooted and grounded in the entire Word of God, where the unadulterated, pure Word of God is preached, and you can be at peace and be happy to come to church every Sunday morning, we invite you to become a part of our fellowship. We just probably just need one to step out. It's amazing. One just steps out, others will follow. We just need one to be bold enough, be strong enough to step out on your faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, or wanting to make sure that you have a home that you can call your house of prayer. We invite you to Jesus Christ. We invite you to this fellowship. We